It got a stamp of approval. Of course, the second it goes live, it went wrong.
Uh-oh.
Welcome to Email Swipes, where we peek behind the scenes at the emails that catch your attention and earn their place in your swipe file. Every other week, we'll talk to an email expert about an experiment they ran. And in the following episode, we'll dive into the strategies and methods used in the email so you can inform and inspire your own email work. I'm Nikki Elbaz, the copywriter behind winning emails for 8- and 9-figure SaaS and e-commerce brands like Shopify, Four Sigmatic, and Sprout Social. And I know that hearing the background stories to these emails will help you turn pie-in-the-sky insights into plug-and-play actions. Ready to make inspiration tactical? Let's go. First, let's read today's email. Hi, Joanna. Are you still wondering how you can incorporate blank seamlessly into your existing curriculum? I'm happy to answer any questions you may have so you can make a go, no-go call before the end of budgeting season. Just hit reply and send me your questions. Thanks, Melissa.
We are so honored to have on with us.
Whoa, hold up. Nikki, you forgot to plug in your fancy expensive microphone. Oops. Guys, I'm really sorry that the audio is so bad on this episode. Stay with me. It's an awesome episode. And don't give up on the podcast because we have some amazing stories. And I managed to plug in my mic for the other episodes. Yes, go me. Okay, back to our story.
Joe, who is my absolute number one mentor, who has basically taught me absolutely everything I know and is genius and has taught basically the whole world all the copywriting knowledge that we all have that's not skeezy and awful. So I'm really excited and I'm sure we are going to learn a ton. So let's go.
That's a nice intro.
Tell us about who you are, the roles you've played. I mean, everyone should know who you are, but just in case, there's a select few that don't.
I actually lived across the street a couple years ago from a copywriter. And I was like, oh, cool. Do you know copy hackers? And she was like, no, what are you talking
about? No way.
I know. And I was like really hopeful that she'd be like, oh, cool. Yeah, I got your books or something. And it was nothing. And I was like, oh, I have a lot of work to do still, evidently. Okay, fine. Yeah, but I'm Joe from Copy Hackers. We've been around for 12 years. If you don't know us by now, I'm sorry. I'm working on it. But yeah, we get to work with a lot of cool clients. We have an agency called Boxcar that focuses on email. We end up doing other things for clients in addition to it, because anybody who works in email knows your client, once they're happy with you, they're like, can you do this too? And you're like, oh, I like you. So, okay. Okay. I'll do that for you too. Yeah. So that's kind of my jam. I've been doing copy hackers for 12 years. I did other conversion consulting before that and copywriting and all of it. And yeah, here we are today. So much learned about email that has been dead that whole time.
I feel like in the past week, I've gotten this question of like, email just doesn't seem to be where people hang out anymore, right? They haven't phrased it as email is dead, but just, I don't know. I think there's other platforms that work better. And I'm like, well, let's work in tandem. Let's work with all of them because email works. So yeah.
I think the problem is nobody really gets how to use email. And like, if you're going to do TikTok, that sounds more exciting now, because one, there's like this whole wild world out there of you can still be new on TikTok and it's not as saturated by marketers, at least. You hear about email and you think, oh, my list isn't big enough. Or if your list is big, oh, my list is old and it's not segmented. Right? So you've got all this in your head. It's like, just hire a pro. It'll be great. Send one email, make tons of money, repeat. It's easy.
That's a good point too, actually, about the newness, that people are more creative with it. Whereas like with email, everyone says, oh, we have to do email the way I see email being done. Whereas with TikTok, it's like, that's not there yet. So people can be more creative. So it resonates more with people because it's more fun and engaging and interesting. Huh. So we have this cool email, which I feel like actually ties really well into this idea that people don't necessarily do email in more creative, interesting ways. And we just kind of follow the script. And this one is so cool because it has this follow-up that feels so personal and really just kind of put the person in this relationship, which is what email is so awesome for. So tell me how you landed on this idea.
So remember, was it the 7-word or the 9-word email? Is that what it was called?
I don't remember which one it is, but I know what you're talking about.
It's the first name in subject line with a question mark. Then the whole body of the email is, are you still looking for X? Are you still looking for X?
I'm also counting.
A 6-word email? I thought it was 7. Maybe it's, hi, are you still looking for X?
Maybe it's the name, right?
Yeah, exactly. exactly. Yeah. And it was like, oh, wow. It like changed the world for 30 seconds or something. And I've tried it with our clients and I haven't been particularly moved by the results. I think it's one of those things that when it works well, you go crazy and tell everybody, but you haven't tried it more than once. So is it really a good template? If you haven't tried it more than once, it's probably not worth templating quite yet. But I like the idea of it. I like the personal feel of it. I like that you can easily fake personalization, like an actual familiarity, because it's so short. There's not that much room to give away that it's a template with like first name tag in there, making it sound personalized. And that's really it. So I wanted to use that. And then there was this other thing that we had tried. So in copy school, this email that we're talking about isn't for copy school, of course, but in copy school, oh, and this was actually, this goes back further. I should be more coherent. I apologize, but I'm like thinking through the process to get there and all the different swipes along the way.
It's good to hear the process. Yeah.
Yeah. Gosh, there's a group that does online and live courses and everybody would know their name, but I forget what they're called right now. But I clicked through one of their emails and then about 2 hours later, I got a follow-up that was like a one-to-one feeling email basically saying, hey, are you still looking for X? Like trying that 7-word email. But theirs was much longer than a 7-word email, but it was doing the same kind of thing. So it was because it was clear that because I had clicked but had not purchased, they had a follow-up email sent out. And in it, they didn't have the original email that they were supposedly kind of replying to or like making part of the conversation. And I remember thinking, oh, that's a miss. Like if they had just taken that and then pasted it into this new email that was template and clear, right? Like this is a not an actual one-to-one situation. They could have just like kind of goofed it, spoofed it to look like a real reply. And so kind of like filed that away to do something with it. And then I was working with this client on a campaign to a group of educators. So principals, school board heads, like high up educators, but there would be some like teachers and things on the list. So it's a tough list. We had to segment it, et cetera. But yeah, so I was working with them and because of the nature of it, it was sales team. It wasn't marketing in this case. It was the sales team that's like, we need more of these educators to book demos. We can close on a demo, but if they never get there, just like every sales team, right? Well, I can close on a demo, get them to me. And that's our job. That's what this email was doing. The first email is one of many emails that was towards the end of this, I think it was about a 14-day cadence that was being sent when school board had to apply for funding for STEM. And the product we were selling is tied to STEM. So that's why that was like the impetus for this email to go out. So we're further along. They've received a few emails. They've shown signs of engagement by the time we get here. And now we're at this email that's basically like pushing for the demo, talking a bit to them about like what questions you might have that are kind of keeping you from coming to the demo without saying, is this keeping you from coming to the demo? And so just like kind of tackling all of that. So that email goes out. When they click, I think it was click. No, it was open. In this case, it was open because clicks would have been far fewer just by the nature of how it works. And there's always ways to improve that, right? But going into it, it was not evergreen. We just had to go with the best possible option. So it was on opens. They open without having booked a demo. 2 hours later, there would be this follow-up email. And the follow-up email is the one that has the original email looking like it's like part of a flow below. It says things like on X date, person's name, then you put their email address in their rote, just like we do for real emails. Like if you send an email through Outlook or Gmail or whatever, the original was threaded in there and it has like the date, the sender, and it has like the standard way of looking. So we were trying to make it look like that. The subject line is questions, question mark, with two slashes, then re and the original subject line. So we're using re, which I'm typically not a fan of when you're faking it. But this really was further to that last email that you actually did open. So it's like not a real re, but it still is. Like it's RE colon belongs here. And then, yeah, the email itself at this point is meant to feel a lot more personal. And that's it. It's not a work of copy genius. So often we think we have to really push it and like write something no one's ever heard before, but that's not actually how people communicate. I don't commonly get outstanding emails from my team or like that person who was trying to get me onto a demo. You don't have to be poetic. You don't have to come up with the best phrasing. Mostly it's just like, did you time it right? Is it relevant? And are you making it easy for me to take action? And that's all we were doing with that email, which is why it's a swipe. And it performed in the flow. The flow performed really well. So the team, the education team, their sales team had us evergreen it, which is tough when the original is based on budgeting season and the evergreen isn't. But that's a whole other thing. But yeah, it performed well. Hence, swipeable.
Cool. I feel like you really hit on this whole AI conversation of, you know, are we all out of our jobs because of ChatGPT? You know, this email could have been written by ChatGPT, but it couldn't have been strategized by it. That's where the human brain still has its place and its hold.
And that's often the more fun part, right? Like that's the big swing that's going to like, it could not work. Okay. But if it does work, like that came from you, it was interesting, you get excited about the idea. Execution is usually just like, you just knock it out, just get it out of your head. So yeah, if you can outsource that to AI, let it be your junior copywriter. I love ChatGPT. When I upgraded to Plus, I've just been in there nonstop. I'm not actually even talking right now. I'm just reading off what it's telling.
I'm really curious how you evergreened it into not focusing around budget. Did you pick a different theme or did you just kind of strip it of any budget talk?
It's a very good question. How I did it was tell my team, hey, can y'all evergreen this? That was it. So I could find out from them. No, but I do think it came based on what I read when I reviewed it. It just came down to stripping that out and like giving other reasons why now is the time. It's nice to have, hey, you're about to apply for funding, throw on $7,000 for this machine and here's why, and I'll walk you through it, etc. But there's always things that teachers and educators have need for. There's always some parent teacher school walkthrough. There's the post-COVID world, right? Of like, we're back at school, better make it cool. Like there's other things to say, right? So yeah, it just came down to that. Yeah. It's tough when you pull the offer out, though. It's like, evergreen it, but change the offer. What?
Okay, I guess we'll figure that out somehow. Yeah, that's annoying. Especially like that fresh of urgency is so fun. Pull it out is so annoying. How did you feel hitting send or, you know, handing it over to the client and seeing the results come in? What were you expecting feedback and the results to be? And how was that emotionally?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it was going to a purchased list, which is always freaky, right? Because you don't know what to expect. You don't know what they know of the brand or don't know of the brand. They didn't ask to get this from you. You're working so hard in the initial emails to get them to engage in some way so that you can continue sending them emails. So there's a lot of that when it's going to a cold list, particularly. It's, I guess, you know, it's, that's the fun part of our job though. Like, I don't know if I'm just been doing this too long and the writing part is no longer that interesting, but the fun part is how do I get somebody, a busy principal who you just like put yourself in that principal's office, all of the pressures they have, all of the meetings they have to run, the parents calling them, how do you get them to say, I'm going to spend $7,000 at least, maybe 20,000, depending on what package you go for, of real money that could be spent on textbooks or on field trips or anywhere else because they don't have that much money. How do you get them to be intrigued enough to say, all right, show me what you got? So that's the part that I think is, it's the sales challenge that's so, I think, exciting for a lot of conversion copywriters. Like, I'm going to get you to care about this. So there's that excitement of it, but then there's also getting the team on board with even something as simple, not your team, but like the client on board with something like, here is the map of this flow drawn out in Whimsical. And you present that in a meeting and you can see like you've got like presentation here, but like the Zoom images over there. And they're just like staring into the camera. Like what is what? But what? what's that? Why is that a diamond shape? And so, yeah, there's that of trying to explain how it's going to work, which they typically don't really get until you start firing the fake version of the flow for like QA purposes. And then they start to see it live and then they understand how it's going to work. But when it comes to like the launch itself, because you just don't know, especially in this case, because it's cold, I hadn't written for the educator segment for this company before. There's a lot of question, but for me, I guess when we think about like the emotion of it, mostly excitement with a tiny side of fear because I had to set it up in Klaviyo.
Oh.
If you love email swipes, you will love my playbooks. They are chock full of inspiration with dozens of examples, color-coded breakdowns, and all the whys and hows and wheres and whats of all the different e-com flows. Even better, they're affordable. One anonymous copywriter said, in a world full of $1,000 and $2,000 copywriting courses, being able to learn a sequence for $52 is amazing. By the way, you can learn them for even less if you get the whole bundle. Another piece of feedback that I loved? I purchased the Welcome Sequence Playback and loved it. It's an easy flowing read and following it is a breeze. I love how it's so actionable. It takes you step by step through the process, but you don't end up with a templated sequence that sounds the same. I also love how you brought in relevant examples to prove the point you were making. I pull it up before every welcome sequence I write. That's a big point of these playbooks, that you don't end up with the same thing every single time, that you understand the strategy. Just like copywriter Paul Melrose says, since using Nikki's playbook, starting work on an e-commerce email sequence without the playbooks would feel like jumping out of a plane without a parachute. And these are not copy and paste solutions either. They work because Nikki gets you to understand the essential concepts at play so you can solve your own or your client's email problems. Big love and appreciation for what she's given us. Thanks, Nikki. But don't think it's all theory. Holly Williams says, had a quick turnaround deadline on an email sequence I hadn't written in a while, but I didn't even sweat it. I pulled up one of Nikki's playbooks and voila, I had a winning sequence in record time. Nikki's playbooks give you the perfect roadmap for using the data you have to craft email sequences that perform well every single time. Thanks, Nikki. I love your playbooks. And one last one, this one from a founder. I put into action the FAQ email and the 12-hour warning email you suggested, along with two other emails and two texts, and I got over $105,000 in revenue in the weekend from the promo. Pretty neat. Never made so many sales via email. Your book helped me save time to get this done. So, whether you want to save time, understand things better, or just get some amazing inspiration, go grab a playbook, or two, or 12, at nikkialbus.com/email-playbooks. And yes, that link is in the show notes. Wish you were in e-com just so that you could grab my playbooks, but you're in SaaS? Don't worry, I got your back with the SaaS Success Pack. Say that 5 times fast. Okay, don't. Just head to the show notes. You'll find the link and grab it there. Okay, back to our show.
My team wasn't involved in this part of the project. It was just like a side thing for the client that the pod that was working on everything for the client was too busy. So I was like, I'll do it. Fine. But then I had to set it up in Klaviyo. I actually hired a Klaviyo consultant to just like have a quick look over it and tell me if anything would like possibly go wrong. And it got a stamp of approval. Of course, the second it goes live, it went wrong.
Uh-oh.
And people that supposed to move into one segment, the wait wasn't in there for the right, I don't know, I think it was in there for a minute or something when it needed to be there for like 2 hours at least. So a whole bunch of people who didn't take action within like that minute got dumped into the wrong flow. And you're like, no! So then I have to get in there and get them back into the right flow. And that was a whole thing. It's technical, right? That's why so many copywriters don't want to implement. It's legit terrifying and scary. But yeah, no, that was really the emotion of it. And I was right to be scared in that case because I messed up. Thankfully, I recovered. And again, like the flow did well. I was relieved. So I didn't get to see, sadly, how many demos came out of it. I got anecdotal discussions about how many came out of it. And they were, again, you know, it was really, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. And it like proves email. Just proves. Like anything that you might think about how to get people in business in particular, any kind of business, as in non-consumers, get them to do something. You can sell a demo for a $20,000 machine a person didn't even think they wanted yesterday with email. So that's, you know, the exciting thing that gets you through all the scary parts of hitting send and realizing you messed up.
And it worked even despite all the mess ups. So that's pretty cool too. Do you think this could have worked for B2C?
Can't see why not, right? Like, it's not doing anything that, I guess, but I often think everything that works for B2B could work for B2C and vice versa. Because, like, it's people, right? We talk about this all the time. It's like, you're not talking to Mark, the VP of marketing. You're talking to Mark, a guy who's trying to get results because he wants a really good bonus, because he wants to feel good about growing a company, like being of value. And that's a person who is a person, not just a business person. So yeah, I think that's the difference. I mean, when I think about all of the people I know in my network are in business, but they're so human, like they're so constantly human that you have to think if it works in a business setting, it should work in a consumer setting and vice versa. At least it's a good hypothesis. So I'd give it a shot. I can't see why not. Yeah. Do you like
the budget idea? The fact that they have this budget to spend that's not their money.
That's true.
Or is it their money? Because it's the money that they have at their fingers to hit the results that they need to hit.
It's a good question. I mean, there's a lot to dig into, but if something works for one group, that's at least the beginning of a hypothesis that it might work for another group. You could be wrong, but don't throw it out. It could be a great idea. It could fail, but most things actually fail. So don't worry about it.
That's why we test. All right. Last question that everyone gets asked. What is your favorite brand right now? Because I know it's always changing, to call email inspiration from.
I can't pronounce it. So I will read it out.
Pronounce it all five ways. And then I'll pick which one I think sounds right.
Cute. Hyatt. Hyatt. It's H-I-U-T Denim Co. It's out of the UK. They make their jeans. They sell the denim for these jeans, but they do like this. I'll forward it to you so you've got some examples, but it's worth signing up for just to have in your swipe file. I currently have in front of me one that they sent 4 days ago. Subject line, introducing our new Italian selvedge, which is evidently a fabric or denim of some kind. I'm not saying it's a great great subject line, but maybe it is. It is. I'm scrolling. There's a lot. Here. It walks you through the story of the denim. It tells you like it was made with part of a regenerative agriculture system, walks you through everything from the founder, then digs into like the what, the why, the how, all of it behind it. And by the end, you're an educated consumer of denim. Hmm. Oh, and they always give you a heads up before something launches. So like coming this May. So like you get on a wait list. Maybe they could improve on that, because once I'm sold on it, I'm like, let's just buy. I just want the jeans. Just give them to me. But it's pretty cool and worth checking out. Largely, I think, because it's e-commerce clothing. And clothing for e-commerce is traditionally one big image, quick little headline, quick little clever line under that, CTA, shop men, shop women. And this is just go, 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 talk, 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 talk. It's so different. So that's my favorite now.
Thank you for sharing. And thank you, of course, for coming on. It's always awesome to talk to you, especially about email.
No, it's great talking with you.
You too. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining me for Email Storytime. If you enjoyed today's story, give this podcast a review so email marketers like you can have more fun with email. See you next week when we dig into this story's takeaways. Up next on Email Swipes.
Because I happen to know which company this is that Joe wrote this email for, and I saw someone else post their abandoned cart email. And what's so cool about it is that you can see how the team took the groundwork of what Joe created, what she stole from the 9-word email, and they stole that and used it for their abandoned cart. It's so cool.